Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miroboard. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miroboard?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Happy New Year, everybody. It is great to be back. I am very optimistic about our country's future. I hope you are as well. It's going to be tough. It's going to be wild. It's going to be weird at times, but I'm feeling great. And anyway, good to be back. I am a little frustrated that I missed that Let's Go Brandon moment, that prank pulled on Joe Biden that Joe Biden himself didn't seem to realize was happening. Something did happen here, though, that I don't think anyone else picked up on. Anyway, let's review for a moment.
Yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas as well.
Merry Christmas,
and let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree. Hey, by the way, where are you in Oregon? Where's your home? I think we lost him.
That was great. Jared from Oregon, who was on the show while I was gone. Look, Jill obviously knows what's happening. She's hanging her head in literal shame. Meanwhile, Joe has no clue. And that's what I find fascinating here. And I haven't really heard anybody talk about it. I don't think Joe Biden is aware of the Let's Go Brandon craze and what it means. This shows us all that he's cut off. They don't trust him with certain information. They know that he loses his temper when he sees something he doesn't like. Fascinating. He is cut off once again, just like he was during the campaign. They didn't let him see everything. They didn't let him know everything. He was clueless. He was lost. And he still is. He still is. All right. So this is January 6th week. Have you noticed the fake news? They've been banging the drum already about this anniversary. The worst thing that has happened since, World War of 18, whatever. Seriously, I think the fake news, they're going to give themselves a heart attack. I'm worried about them with the hype, the exaggeration, and the lies.
This Sunday, January 6th, 1 year later. It was a violent effort to overturn a free and fair election.
The deadly siege on Congress as an angry pro-Trump mob storms the U.S. Capitol.
Behind the violence, former President Trump's big lie of a stolen election.
This is a fraud on the American public. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
As he tried to reverse the results.
Everything you're going to hear about January 6th, just about everything you'll hear from the mainstream media over the next week are lies. How will you know they're lying? When they're talking, when they're showing you pictures. They are distorting everything, exaggerating everything, and omitting something extremely, extremely important. And that is what happened to Ashley Babbitt. Ashley Babbitt, U.S. military veteran, unarmed, shot, completely without justification. I feel so bad for the Babbitt family. You know why? No one's talking about her. Our mainstream media don't care because Ashley Babbitt is a couple of things they abhor right now, or that at least carry no status in American society. She's working class, she's white, she's a woman, and she's pro-Trump. They hate her for that. They hate her posthumously for that. And we'll be talking about her in a different light throughout the week. I hope you stay with us because it's an important conversation to have. All right. Meanwhile, I saw Kamala also while I was gone. Man, I know they're liars, but when they do it this obviously and with such flair, I'm taken aback still. All right. Here it is.
And this is not about saying you should vote for me or you should vote for Democrats. This is about everyone having unfettered access to their right to vote.
Unfettered access to their right to vote. That sounds great until you think about it for a moment. Everybody vote. We'll mail you the ballot. You mail it back. No problem. No questions asked. No verification. Unfettered. You ask for voter ID. That's fettered. You can't do that. That could complicate things. Of course, poor black people don't have ID. It's all phony. A lot of it's racist. And here's the real dishonest part. This fake conversation she said she had with Angela Merkel, former chancellor of Germany. You know, they have things pretty organized in Germany. Do you think the conversation with Angela and Kamala went the way she said it did? Listen to this.
One of my favorite interactions was with the now past Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel. She came over for breakfast. She asked me about voting, and she knew what was going on here. And this is not a subject that was unique to my conversation with her, by the way, in terms of world leaders. Because people around the world watch what we do as America, because we have held ourselves out to be a model of the efficacy of the ability of a democracy to coexist with an economic strength and power. We have been a role model saying you can see this and aspire to this and reject autocracies and autocratic leadership. And right now we're about to take ourselves off the map as a role model. If we let people destroy one of the most important pillars of a democracy, which is free and fair election.
She seems to think if she says it with this kind of emotion that somebody will finally believe her that voting ID is a threat to free and fair elections. She said she had this conversation with Angela Merkel from Germany. I've been to Germany. Have you been to Germany? It's a very organized place. And when she said this, I started thinking, wait a second. They probably have voter ID in Germany. And I looked it up. And boy, do they have voter ID.
3 or 4 weeks before the elections, she receives a letter, a so-called Wahlbenachrichtigung, inviting her to vote at a school nearby. The date and time, as well as the address of where she can vote, are indicated here. With this Wahlbenachrichtigung, she also has the option to apply to vote via regular mail. When Sayan arrives at the school, she shows her Wahlbenachrichtigung. An election worker checks her ID and indicates which booth she may vote in.
That's PBS Germany, the English station. And yes, voter ID, notification. They notify you. You have to apply for absentee. Here are some of the requirements. In Germany, like most of the free world, voters receive electoral notification in the mail at polling station. Must provide name, ID, and that electoral notification thingamajig. Did you catch the name of it? That's a big word, but you got to have it with you when you show up to vote in Germany. It makes sense. It also makes total sense what we know about Kamala and Biden, that she's lying about that conversation. By the way, voter ID or ID in general, up until Donald Trump showed up and won, and they try to figure out ways to mess with the next election, my opinion, there is some of that. We know that. Having identification wasn't considered racist. It wasn't considered anti-Democrat. This is liberal former mayor, finally, Bill de Blasio, talking about identification and the need for it 8 years ago. This is in 2014.
It is crucial for all New Yorkers to carry ID, particularly our young people. That is related to today's announcement, but I think it's an overall point that we really have to get across. Carrying ID is absolutely crucial at all times for a lot of reasons.
How do we get from there to requiring ID is racist? Something very sinister is afoot. Anyway, I'm happy he's gone, but I'm not happy about his replacement, a guy by the name of Eric Adams. So he's not very impressive. He doesn't have much in the way of skill, very weak resume. He was a police officer, and that's his big selling point, that he's going to be the crime buster, all right, all during the campaign. Kind of called himself a hero at times.
For 22 years, I wore a bulletproof vest and stood on the street corners and protected children and families in the city of New York.
It was that combination of credibility when it comes to actually fighting crime, meaning he strapped on a bulletproof vest and a gun and went out in the streets every night, along with real reform credentials.
People always introduce me as a former police captain. I became a police officer. I understand crime, and I also understand police abuse. And I know how we can turn around not only New York, but America.
Dealing with public safety. The fact that Eric Adams was a cop for 22 years really works very heavily in his favor.
Wow, all that experience. He's going to fight crime like we've never seen. So on his first day of work as mayor, he's on his way to City Hall with about 50 reporters following him. And a half block away, two guys are beating up somebody. They're beating him up. What does he do? Watch.
Yes, I'm at Broadway in Pascagoula, and I have been assault in progress of three males. Yes. I'm sorry? No, assault in progress. Not past assault. They are fighting each other on the street right now. Three males. Not of my knowledge.
Pretty mellow. He just calls 911. I called 911. Most New Yorkers have called 911 about a half dozen times in the previous year. We just spent, what, $20 million running an election to pick a mayor? And this is what the crime fighter does. He calls 911. Now, you may think, well, he's the mayor. Doesn't he have all kinds of cops around him protecting him? You would think that. You'd be wrong, because his first decision as mayor was to not have the cops with him.
The city is safe. We should have, just a limited amount of a lot of police personnel.
And he went on. He explained, look, I'm not going to walk around with a police detail. That's not going to be my style. And when those guys were getting beat up, he needed cops. The cops could have responded. The cops have radios. They don't have to bother with calling 911. They can call directly to a police car around the block and they can respond. Anyway, so far, not very good. But the fake news, of course, they just like him because, I don't know, they think he's cute or something.
How are you going to make a balance where you deal with the questions of crime, the questions of Rikers, the questions of education, but not try to please either side, but really do what is right for most New Yorkers?
And that's a great question, because throughout the campaign, I talked about don't put me in a box. Don't tell me I'm conservative. Don't tell me I'm progressive. I'm Eric. And being Eric means the complete wholeness of my life, understanding what it was to be arrested as a child, beat by police officers, serve public protection, taking care of people who are the victims of crimes, but also the economic concerns that we had, living poor, on the verge of homelessness. All of these things brought me to this moment. And, you know, as a reverend, you know, Esther 4 and 14, God made me for such a time like this.
All right, so the question was, what are you going to do about education and crime? And he said, I was beat by the police, I was poor, I was on the verge of homelessness. That's all of his brand, his appeal, the kind of things you say when you're campaigning, but not when you're governing. I do believe, though, that he would not be mayor if God didn't allow it. But he allows things for all kinds of reasons. We'll see how this plays out. I have a hunch that I know that people shouldn't be judged like this, the way he's making appointments, the way he puts people in certain jobs. Is he looking at their ability? Nope. Just ask him. He's looking at something entirely different.
Look at my cabinet. First Latino correction commissioner, first African-American Dominican police commissioner, first South Asian to be a deputy mayor in the city of New York, five women deputy mayors. When you look at what I'm assembling, smart, emotionally intelligent, committed, compassionate people.
He's got women, black women, this, that, Hispanic, nothing about competence. And by the way, emotionally intelligent people who look like all kinds of people are emotionally intelligent. I personally know people who are white who have been declined positions in his administration. It's really sad. And by the way, he's walking around like he's the emperor of New York City. He's not. He's not. There are 8 million people, approximately, in New York City. Big, big, big city. How many of those 8 million actually voted for him? Given our screwy primary system, 3.16% of those 8 million New Yorkers made him mayor. That's all it took. That's all it took. All right, much more to come. But before we go, this is the new year, and I thought I would share with you something that I am endeavoring to do. As you may know, watching this show, I have been reading the Bible over the past few years like never before, but not necessarily every day. And I'm committed to reading it every single day. And if you're a skeptic, I have to tell you, there are passages in this book that can transform every part of your life. There's actually a part in here about the cure for anxiety. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? This is in Matthew. And forgive me, I know I'm just scratching the surface, and most of you probably have learned these lessons a long time ago, but I know there are some of you out there who have not taken a real hard look at this, as I did not for many, many years. The Charles Stanley Bible that I talked about just before Christmas, it has all kinds of footnotes and essays and explainers because some of the language is a bit mysterious at times.
I'm Rob Carson, host of the Newsmax Daily Podcast. Tired of boring traditional news updates? How about one with a conservative point of view and it's actually funny? You can subscribe for free on the Apple Podcast app and it downloads directly to your smartphone so you can listen while driving, to work, riding a bike, at the gym, or even while lobster fishing off the East Coast. Subscribe today with the Apple Podcast app or go to newsmaxtv.com/podcasts for other platforms. Something's coming.
All I can say is that the fake news just doesn't get it, do they? By the end of the week, we're going to change that clip. It'll still be Trump, but another setting where he's saying something different about the fake news. It's going to be just as good, maybe even better. All right. Speaking of the fake news, who remembers Ted Koppel? Ted Koppel, he ran Nightline over there on ABC for a long time. And more recently, he joined CBS News. He does these reports for the CBS Morning Show. He's trying to copy, I believe, Charles Carroll. Remember that guy? Anyway, he got the idea to go down to some town in North Carolina, a small little village where Andy Griffith was born, to make fun of the show and to criticize it for not having enough black people on the show. That was the whole idea of the story. Andy Griffith, he's given Andy Griffith a hard time.
The Andy Griffith Show, starring Andy Griffith with Ronnie Howard. Also starring Don Knotts.
So, this is an American classic, of course, all right? And Andy Griffith actually wanted to make sure that every episode had a moral, had a lesson. And I wasn't the biggest watcher of the program. It predates me, but I've seen the reruns and good, wholesome TV. Nothing's wrong with it. until the fake news shows up. So Ted Koppel takes a camera crew down to Mount Airy, North Carolina, birthplace of Andy Griffith, and it's said that Mayberry is based on Mount Airy, and confronts people about this show, like, why do you like it? It didn't have enough black people in it. It's a bad show.
The Foster family from Pomeroy, Ohio, showed up.
What's it, 4 hours,
yeah,
Monday
four
through
hours.
Friday?
Yeah.
It's no exaggeration to say that this recreation verges for the Fosters on being a national monument.
You watch the Andy Griffith Show 4 hours a day?
More than that.
What do you mean more than that?
It's on sometimes early in the morning.
Aren't you afraid that after a month or two of watching 4 hours or more a day, that you're going to turn his little brain to mush?
Just so insulting and condescending, turn his brain to mush. It's obviously not 4 hours. It's a figure of speech. And what do you want him doing, Ted? Watching TikTok videos? Next.
Tell me why you like it so much.
Good, clean comedy.
Yeah, fun. Good, clean comedy. Has morals, values. You don't see that a lot today in TV.
And you see Ted looking at them like they're foreign species, like from another planet. He just can't believe what he's hearing, but he's just warming up. He's about to play the race card.
African Americans were all but invisible on the Andy Griffith Show.
There were very few speaking parts.
One.
Okay, Opie, take over quarterback position. Okay, let's go.
If you watch closely in the crowd scenes, I think Andy and others on the show pushed to make sure that there were people of color in the crowds. But you have to look closely.
He's totally ambushing this guy with these questions about race out of left field. But that was the idea he had when he preconceived this story back in the safety of the Beltway, the swamp where he lives. Next.
Let me flip it back on you. I know you're doing this.
Sure.
But what do you see?
What you're saying is true of certain people. If you were black in the 60s, things were not all that good.
True.
If you were a Vietnam vet coming back,
spit on and
things,
hated.
Things were not all that good for you.
It's ripping on Andy Griffith because, well, it didn't tell the entire story of America like every sitcom on CBS in the 60s was supposed to do that somehow. And this is where it gets, to me, really the most offensive. This is a tour bus, a trolley, of folks who were there to see the Andy Griffith Museum. Ted Koppel gets on, starts talking about January 6th. Trump, the fake news. Do you all believe that? As political as you can get.
How many of you think we had a fair election?
No way.
I saw two hands go up, so is it fair to say the rest of you think that it was not a fair election?
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was at all.
Was it a fair election?
By no means.
Because?
I think there was a lot of voter fraud. It's done been proven. There's been people that's voted that's been dead 15 years. I think it's more the mail-in ballots. You don't know how much of those that were duplicated, triplicated, the whole bit.
Look how many dead people voted for Biden.
One question. It's a serious question, and I know you all will take it seriously. Tell me what you think happened on January 6th.
That's quite a left turn, isn't it? From the Andy Griffith Show to January 6th. The media, I believe, have a duty to investigate their observations, their hunches. Instead, he's ridiculing them indirectly, but it's there. And the accents, the Southern accents, people in Northeast newsrooms, they do laugh at those accents. And they look down on these people. These people are smart, though, and they know what's happening. And they start to give it right back to them.
I won't be offended. I've been a journalist all my life. When President Trump talked about the press being the enemy of the people.
They are.
They are.
And I love President Trump. I love that man. I do.
They did not hide their political views. But again, they're worried about how this is going to look, how it's going to be edited, how it will ultimately turn out. And they spoke, how do they put it now? Their truth.
I just hope when this airs, it won't show Southerners as a bunch of dumb idiots like so many parts of the country do. We have a lot of love in our hearts. We love our country. We love our fellow man. And if the rest of the country felt like that, it would be a better place.
This conversation about politics and division is what people come here to get away from. We don't care what color you are. We don't even care what your politics are. We just want to be good neighbors and treat everybody alike. And that's why they're coming here.
I love it. You know, Ted Koppel has interviewed kings and presidents, but he doesn't have the intelligence, class, insight, these two folks on a tour of the Andy Griffith Museum in Mount Airy, North Carolina. They were fabulous, them and all their friends and family. Back to Ted Koppel. What's next for him? Is he going to show up at NASA and start complaining and maybe start hassling the families of dead astronauts that there weren't more black people in the Apollo program, huh? Because that's what he tried to do to the Andy Griffith Show. How about he goes back to ABC News, the network that hired him, and ask, in 1970, why did you hire all of these white people, including me? This is the ridiculous place America is, elite America is in right now. Ted, perhaps you'd be more comfortable with the programming CBS has made so much money off of lately, like Two and a Half Men with Charlie Sheen.
Hi. You must be Alan.
Yes.
Forget it, Georgia. It's not gonna happen. I thought I could spice up our relationship with a three-way.
A three-way?
But I didn't realize you had no romantic feelings for me at all.
Now, hang on.
All right. John Cryer, by the way, Charlie Sheen's roommate. Is this better than the racist Andy Griffith Show?
Remember.
As I listen to this, I guess I have a better idea why the mainstream media would take a cheap shot at this program. Of course, it's not racist. Just a nice show with beautiful values. Nothing wrong with that. I don't care what Ted Koppel or the New York Times says. We'll be right back.
If you've had it with the old news
and the same spent,
well, then Spicer & Company is your place
for the inside story
and for the facts that you need to know.
Hey, AOC, our least favorite lunatic congresswoman, out partying with her boyfriend in Miami during the Christmas break. What's wrong with that? A lot. She has a district here in New York City. And the Omicron virus is tearing it up. And what about the mask situation? She's been one of the biggest mask bullies ever.
But the same people who are now like, oh, anti-shutdown, we can't shut down, like blah, 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 were the same people who weren't wearing masks who forced the caseloads to be so high that we had to shut down areas to begin with. So if you're anti-shutdown, you better to have been wearing a mask all damn year, because don't come to me and say you're anti-shutdown when you're spreading COVID all over the place.
You know, she's just dumb and proud of it. Dumb and proud. That's a terrible way to go through life. All right, so we got the table situation. Hey, that's debatable, all right? I don't like wearing a mask, certainly not at the table. But what about if you're a mass bully like she is and you go to some party with 150,000 people? You see? No one's wearing a mask in the joint. Nobody. And meanwhile, she's one of the crusaders forcing children, kindergartners, first graders to wear masks. It's ludicrous. It's hypocritical. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. It really is bad. Hey, by the way, remember what they did to Ted Cruz when he went to Cancun? All right. That was a national story for about 2 weeks. Now, he had no operational authority, you know, to handle a hurricane. I think there was a hurricane in Texas at the time. Yes, yeah, symbolically hand out water bottles and all that stuff. But total double standard from the American media. AOC, they defend. This guy, they try to take out, but they didn't because he's good. He's very good. All right. Now it's time to talk about January 6th.
Who's the opposite? Do you want your house back? Take it!
The anniversary of January 6th is Thursday, and there will be lies. There will be exaggerations, omissions, and overall hype that I think is so unfortunate. Oh, and isn't it interesting that they canceled on social media Marjorie Taylor Greene? Her account permanently suspended. They accused her of spreading misinformation about the vaccine on social media. Now, I don't know. You can tweet stuff that Dr. Fauci was saying a couple of months ago and be accused of spreading misinformation, disinformation. This is so unfair, and we all know they're coming after conservatives more than anyone else. I'd like to show you an example of a Republican, a Republican that they like to feature anytime January 6th comes up. Listen to this guy.
An institution that took itself seriously would have impeached Donald Trump within 48 hours of January 6th, mm-hmm. or impeached and removed.
A swamp Republican, one of them gone by, January 10th. He should have been removed from office. What else did this guy say? Oh, the law that a lot of us wanted explored, he said that should be done away with, but at least they're finally talking about it. What those who objected to the election wanted to do it through was the Electoral Count Act of 1887. It's totally legitimate. We can have this conversation, but not the way he's framing it.
Why are we not talking about reforming the Electoral Count Act, which is the central tool for any attempt by Donald Trump and his minions to take power again?
All right, he's using words like minions and things like that, but how much discussion have you heard about the Electoral Count Act of 1887? Been around for a long time. And this was the mechanism, totally legal, that the results of the election could have been debated on January 6th and were, but because of all the issues, we weren't able to have the full conversation and debate that we wanted. All right. Also this, you heard about how January 6th was a big white supremacist rally. Fake news, but kind of went away for a while. Now it's back, big time. Listen to this, egghead.
A lot of Trump supporters are believers in a theory called the Great Replacement, which is the idea that the rights and privileges and position of white people is under assault from black and brown people, right, who are trying to replace them in American society.
I don't know anything about the Great Replacement theory, but I do know some potential future presidents of the United States, people I'd love to see leading this country someday. People like Candace Owens, Herschel Walker, Burgess Owens, Byron Donalds, Ben Carson, one of my very favorites. They don't know what they're talking about, guys like that on Meet the Press. These are heroes, heroes in the MAGA movement. All right, one other thing I wanted to play for you. The Pentagon is as crazy as ever. This is David Martin. He's the Pentagon correspondent for CBS News. Generally, he's not crazy. I'm going to take his word for it. Is this what the generals are really telling him?
When you look at what's happening right now and the folks you talked to at the Pentagon, do they believe the biggest national security threat is internal or external?
Internal, no question. Military people will say that to you. The biggest threat to the United States of America is a reincarnation of January 6th. And if we lose our democracy, what the heck does all that other stuff matter? Who cares about hypersonic weapons if you, if you don't have a democracy?
All right. So if the generals are telling him that, they really should be dismissed. That's the kind of extremist rhetoric that should be found and dismissed from the military. People are overhyping domestic debate in this country. Ridiculous, ridiculous. That kind of rhetoric, if the generals are really pushing it, it's going to get us beat potentially by the Chinese someday. Actually, I believe this reporter. He's just telling us what he heard from the generals. It actually rings very true, doesn't it?
On the issue of critical race theory, et cetera, I'll obviously have to get much smarter on whatever the theory is. But I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read. And I want to understand white rage, and I'm white, and I want to understand it.
Yeah, I could see him saying something like what the reporter said, huh? Too bad he's not more concerned about China and Russia, and that he wasn't more concerned about Afghanistan. When we come back, a January 6th political prisoner who it looks like is being totally abused and his life could be in danger. He has celiac disease that has gone untreated. He is losing a dramatic amount of weight. He's in big trouble legally and also physically. Be right back.
It's our America. We built it. Courage. Freedom. Millions go to Newsmax when they need to know. Start today on the free Newsmax app. Newsmax is real news for real people.
The picture here of January 6th prisoners in that D.C. facility, doesn't it remind you a little bit of Abu Ghraib? Seriously, it's very reminiscent of those photographs. Christopher Quaglin has been in custody since April 7th of last year, assaulting, resisting, impeding certain officers, using a dangerous weapon, a lot of allegations against him. But he's in trouble legally and physically. He's lost 20 pounds since December. He's COVID-19 positive. He's in solitary confinement, and he has celiac disease. And his attorney tells us he's not being treated, not getting proper treatment at all. Joseph McBride, attorney for January 6th defendant Christopher Quaglin and several others. Mr. McBride, welcome back. How are you?
I am well, Greg. How are you?
Terrific. Tell us a little bit, please, about your client. What's happening?
Sure. So Christopher Quaglin was moved to Northern Neck Regional Jail on the 21st of December. This is the sixth time that he has been moved since he's been a detainee. This is the third time that he's been moved in the past 40 days after Marjorie Taylor Greene's visit to the jail. He has been retaliated against. He is purposefully being starved. He's being denied medical treatment. This was recognized this week by multiple members of Congress. Just today, from the office of Congressman Clay Higgins. Clay Higgins and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and 12 other signees sent a letter to the top dog in the Bureau of Prisons demanding answers about Christopher Quaglin and demanding answers about other people who have been mistreated. But Chris is in dire need of medical help. He's at risk of dying right now.
Six times is a lot. Why are they moving him so much?
This is retaliation. He's been outspoken in jail about his treatment. He has celiac disease. If they feed him the wrong food, he can get very sick and potentially die. He has underlying medical conditions. Despite the fact that he's been double vaccinated, they're moving him around the country like a chess piece. Now he has COVID-19. He's in solitary confinement. He has asked to be moved to a hospital because he's in fear of his life. They're not doing anything for him. Thank God for members of the Freedom Caucus. Thank God for journalists like yourself and for congressmen and women like Clay Higgins and Marjorie Taylor Greene who are willing to go to bat and speak out against these atrocities that are happening to American citizens in pretrial detention.
do me a favor. How old is he? What does he do? And tell us a little bit about the family. I see he looks like he's got a new baby there and a nice partner. What's he like? What's he about?
Sure. So Chris is, you know, he's in his 30s, recently became a father, salt of the earth, all-American guy, no previous contacts with the criminal justice system. He's the guy you call when you need a favor. He's the guy you call when you need something going on in your life and you want to talk to him for advice. This is the guy that will give you the shirt off of his back because that's the kind of man who he is. He's a good man. He's a good husband. He's a good father. Sure, he got mixed up in the events of that day and he'll have to have his day in court. But in the United States of America, we do not punish pretrial detainees. Yep. Not only has he been punished, he's been tortured, and it has to stop now.
The Give, Send, Go, we just put it up. Justice for Christopher Quaglin, Quaglin. And thank you. Please give my best to him and his family. I'm so sorry. This does seem outrageous to me. So many are being, I think, punished before they've been convicted, and it's not right. It's not American. Continued success in your work, Joseph McBride. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Have a good night.
All right. We'll be right back.
We'll be going on a journey together, stretching back a couple thousand years. Hi, I'm Drew Brees, former NFL quarterback, and I invite you to download the Pray.com app to listen to my bedtime Bible story about the birth of Jesus.
I'm Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas and 2016 presidential candidate. Like many of you, I've struggled to get a good night's sleep for most of my adult life. I wasted at least 2 hours a day of my life tossing and turning, trying to shut my mind down. Until about 2 years ago, that's when I saw an ad on TV for Relaxium Sleep. I decided to order it, and it literally changed my life. Developed by renowned neurologist and sleep expert Dr. Eric Siliberti, Relaxium Sleep is clinically proven to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. Relaxium's exclusive triple-action formula addresses three key factors that contribute to insomnia. I like that it's non-habit-forming. It's made in the USA. There's simply nothing else like it. Relaxium Sleep comes with a 100% money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. In fact, they're so confident it'll work for you, they're giving away 1,000 bottles today. With Relaxium Sleep, I fall asleep as soon as my head hits the pillow. In the morning, my mind is sharp, and I've got energy that I enjoyed when I was younger. Both my wife and I have been paying customers of Relaxium Sleep for over 2 years now. And I know once you've experienced the amazing difference it can make in your life, you will be too. I trust my night to Relaxium Sleep, and so should you. Try Relaxium Sleep risk-free for 30 days. Use the promo code on your screen for free expedited shipping.
Call 800-837-1838 or visit TryRelaxium.com. That's 800-837-1838 or visit TryRelaxium.com. Fall asleep, stay asleep, wake refreshed with clinically proven Relaxium Sleep. Act now.
You'll be glad you did.
Trust Unite to Relaxium Sleep.
I got this mountain bike for only $11.
DealDash.com, the fair and honest bidding site. This KitchenAid mixer sold for less than $26. This iPad sold for less than $43. And this PlayStation 5 sold for less than a dollar.
I want these Bluetooth headphones for $20.
I got these three suitcases for less than $40.
And shipping is always free.
Go to DealDash.com right now and see how much you can save.
Now you can win $5,000 a week for life and pass it on.
February 28th, win $5,000 a week forever from Publishers Clearinghouse.
Enter now at PCH.com. $5,000 a week forever. Enter at PCH.com.
Why is everyone talking about beets? They're nature's superfood secret. Total Beets from Force Factor help boost heart-healthy energy, support blood pressure, improve circulation, and increase nitric oxide. Rush to Walmart for great-tasting Total Beets from Force Factor, the number one beets brand in America.
Germs invade through your nose, the body's air filter. But how do you clean it? Navage uses powered suction to help flush out congestion, allergens, mucus, and viruses. Millions use drug-free Navage to breathe better and feel healthier. Navage. Clean nose, healthy life.
Selling a home is expensive and stressful, so we set out to create a better home selling experience with a network of the most successful real estate agents in America that'll sell your home for as little as a 2% commission.
The icing on the cake with the Ideal Agent was that we saved $12,000 in commission.
They were so stress-free. The whole process was amazing, and I would definitely recommend them.
We are not a discount brokerage. These are top local agents that'll get you the best results.
So it seems like selective COVID hysteria. You call a business, try to get something done. Good luck getting somebody on the phone. Have you noticed all the flight cancellations? Look, people have COVID. A lot of people are calling in sick because of COVID. And it almost feels like we have an unofficial shutdown in the works. It's very strange. I know employers are really, really suffering here. I'd like to bring in two experts. We have with us Bruce Yamali. He is a restaurateur, hires a lot of waiters, CEO of the Dover Group, and chefs. And also Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. He is a professor of medicine at Stanford University, a research associate at the National Bureau of Economics Research. First, welcome, gentlemen. First, doctor, what's happening right now?
I mean, part of it is we have vaccine mandates in many, many places that have had many, many people leave their jobs because they didn't want to be forced to take the vaccine. Many of whom had COVID and already recovered really wouldn't benefit from it. And so, like, a lot of places are short-staffed because of that.
And also, the anybody using it as an excuse, by the way, just like, I mean, just so many just saying, COVID, I can't do it because of COVID. I know there are people with real objections to the vaccine, and that's fine. I'm against mandates. But what about that part of the equation?
Yeah, I mean, I think people ought to get vaccinated, especially if they're vulnerable. But forcing people to get vaccinated has created this sort of negative loop where, you know, we're short-staffed in places like hospitals. That's actually going to harm health. We've given money, vast amounts of money, to keep people out of work. I think that's finally started to slow down some. And so we have a situation, both an economic and a health situation, that's reinforcing into this place where we're at, where there's huge numbers of jobs that just can't get filled.
Butch Yamali, do you agree? Is it just the mandates? You're on the front lines. You're hiring people all the time. And I'm sorry for the lack of time here, but your reaction to what's happening right now, please.
It's crazy. They're using that as an excuse. I mean, we're very responsible. We make sure our staff is vaccinated. And now people using, you know, because Omicron, you can get that with the vaccine. They're using that as an excuse not to come to work. And it's a big problem. The whole supply chain is broken. Try and get, like, you know, food from, you know, different food sources. They're not available anymore. So between the staffing and the increased, you know, cost to get product, it's killing us. It really is.
Dr. Bhattacharya from Stanford, we appreciate it. Sorry for the lack of time tonight, but to be continued for sure.